我们跟着马可的记叙，一路查考了耶稣基督在地上传道事工的开始阶段。
We have followed Mark in his records and have been studying the early stages of Jesus Christ's early ministry, earthly ministry.
我们在上次说过，从马可福音第二章开始，耶稣就遭到犹太领袖的敌对。
As mentioned last Sunday, beginning from Mark chapter 2, the Jewish religious leaders had been coming up against Jesus.
犹太的领袖不断编造罗织了各种毁谤耶稣的罪名。
These Jewish leaders fabricated many scandals to slander Jesus.
仅仅到了第三章第六节，就开始要想办法置耶稣于死地。
At chapter 3 verse 6, these Jewish leaders already started looking for a way to put Jesus to death.
当然了，犹太领袖想要杀害耶稣的原因，从表面上来看呢，是因为耶稣宣告自己就是神。
Oh, but of course, on the surface, the reason for them wanting Jesus dead was because Jesus had proclaimed himself as God.
但是暗地里，是因为非常重要的，尤其是耶稣受到了广大犹太人的接纳与拥戴。
But on the inside, the reason was because Jesus was widely popular amongst the Jewish community.
他的名声，他的声望名气实在是太高了，以至于犹太的领袖们呢感到丢尽了面子。
His popularity was so great to an extent that the Jewish leaders felt a great loss of face.
不过对于这个丢面子的事情，自称敬虔的犹太宗教领袖们是打死都不会说出来的。
But of course, these self-proclaimed pious Jewish religious leaders would never ever mention about their loss of face.
因此，他们就得为自己暗地里的高傲和妒忌找一个冠冕堂皇的借口。
Hence, they needed to find some legalistic excuse to cover their inner pride and jealousy.
耶稣之所以遭到弃绝、受藐视、遭痛恨、最终被谋害，是什么原因呢？按照犹太宗教领袖来说，是因为他不够有宗教性。
Jesus was rejected. He was despised. He was hated.And he was eventually murdered. And for what reason? Simply because he was not religious enough.
按照犹太宗教领袖，主要是法利赛人的标准来说，耶稣根本不够神圣。
By the standards of the Jewish religious leaders, which predominantly the Pharisees, Jesus was not holy enough.
具体来说，他根本就不像法利赛人那样正义，不过正义要加引号，不够正义，不够律法主义，不够严格，就是说不可以通融。
To put it in details, he was not righteous enough, he was not legalistic enough, and he was not intolerant enough like the Pharisees.
他根本不像法利赛人那样论断人，不够对人定罪。
Neither was he judgmental enough and not condemning enough.
更气人的，更令他们无法接受的是，耶稣居然不像这些法利赛人那样自命清高。
And even more unacceptable is that he was not pretentious enough like those Pharisees.
一句话，按照犹太宗教领袖，尤其是法利赛人的标准，耶稣不够有宗教性。
To sum it up, by the standard of the Jewish religious leaders, especially by the standards of the Pharisees, Jesus was simply not religious enough.
然而如果站在今天所谓基督教的标准，
However, by today's standards of quasi Christianity,
耶稣又变得过分的神圣，太 过的正义，太过的律法主义，太过的严格，一点都不可以通融。
Jesus then will be way too holy, far too righteous, far too legalistic, and far too intolerant.
他会被许多人说成是太过论断，太过严厉的对人定罪，也太过自命清高。
He will be described as, by many as being far too judgmental enough, far too condemning, and far too pretentious.
一句话，按照今天许多人为了讨人的喜欢的那种所谓的基督教标准，这基督教 要加引号，所谓基督教标准，耶稣根本不够有爱心。
To sum it up, by the standards of many man-pleasing so-called Christians, Jesus was simply not loving enough.
当年的法利赛人，文士说，可以说是过分地注重他们的宗教性，并且追求律法主义的道德。
The Pharisees and scribes back then were too highly religious and extremely legalistic moral.
而今天所谓基督教文化，这个基督教文化要加引号，所谓基督教文化，这是极度的世俗化，以及过分的无视道德。
However, on the other hand, today's so-called Christianity culture is extremely secular and is highly immoral.
当年犹太宗教领袖憎恨耶稣，是因为他赦免了坏人。
The religious leaders back then hated Jesus for forgiving bad people.
而今天人们憎恨耶稣，正好相反，这是因为他定了那些好人的罪。
And in today's situation, people would hate Jesus because he condemns good people.
因此，我在这里要特别的。给大家提到一节旧约的圣经。
Therefore, it is necessary to remind everyone here of one scripture in the Old Testament.
箴言书第二十六章第二节。
The Proverbs chapter 26 verse 2.
人一切所行，在自己眼中看为清洁，为耶和华衡量人心。
All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit.
事实上，在犹太宗教领袖的眼中，耶稣是那样的不圣洁，以至于他所做的事情肯定是出于撒旦的能力。
As a matter of fact, in the eyes of the Jewish religious leaders, Jesus was so unholy that they concluded that he did what he did by the power of Satan.
因为耶稣是那样的不遵从他们所谓的敬虔。以至于没有别的选择，只能是出于撒旦。
Because Jesus had failed to observe their piety, so there was no other explanation but from the power of Satan.
但是，他们可以想象出来，可以捏造出来对耶稣最轻蔑的嘲笑。
That was the most scornful ridicule that they could come up with.
为什么他们有这样的结论呢？因为耶稣似乎受到了税吏与罪人的欢迎。
Why did they come to such a conclusion? It was because Jesus had seemed so welcoming to tax collectors and sinners.
耶稣似乎在那些被犹太人认为是属撒旦和罪人的中间，感到非常的安逸和自在。
Jesus seemed to be so comfortable with the people who were deemed to be Satan's people.
接下来请大家和我一起翻开马可福音第二章十八节到第二十二节。
Please turn with me to Mark chapter 2, verses 18 to 22.
马可福音第二章。
Mark chapter 2.
第十八节，当下约翰的门徒和法利赛人进食，他们来问耶稣说，约翰的门徒和法利赛人的门徒进食，你的门徒倒不进食，这是为什么呢？
Verse 18. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?
耶稣对他们说，新郎和陪伴之人同在的时候，陪伴之人岂能进食呢？新郎还同在，他们不能进食。
And Jesus said to them, Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast.
但日子将到，新郎要离开他们，那日他们就要进食。
The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day.
没有人把布缝在旧衣，新布缝在旧衣服上，恐怕所补上的新布带坏了旧衣服，破的就更大。
No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If it does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and the worst tear is made.
也没有人把新酒装在旧皮袋里，恐怕酒把皮袋裂开，酒和皮袋就都坏。唯把新酒装在新皮袋里。
And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If it does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins.
上主日透过马可福音第二章十三到十九节，我们看到了耶稣呼召当税吏的立位，就是后来跟随他做门徒的马太。
Last Sunday, we saw in Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, that Jesus had called the tax collector Levi to be his disciple, and later named as Matthew.
这件事情引起了犹太宗教领袖的强烈不满。
This caused great displeasure among the Jewish leaders.
不仅仅是因为在他们看来，耶稣所传的宗教与他们的宗教有着本质上的区别。
Not only was it because that to them, the religion that Jesus preached was fundamentally different from their religion.
并且他们也更加肯定地做了一个结论，他们的宗教是从神来的，而耶稣的所作所为，这是从撒旦来的。
Moreover, they were firmly convinced that their religion came from God, while his came from Satan.
不仅如此，更叫法利赛人和文士受不了的是十六节所告诉我们，耶稣竟然带着门徒与罪人并税吏一同吃喝。
Not only so, what the Pharisees and the scribes could not accept was that Jesus was there with his disciples and they are eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners.
他们呢本来就想故意对耶稣的门徒发个怨言，当然目的是叫耶稣能听见啊，这样子来表达他们内心对耶稣的不满。
The initial intention was to deliberately complain to Jesus' disciples, of course for Jesus to hear it, in order to show the displeasure for Jesus.
没想到耶稣的回答不但叫他们难堪，而且使他们更加的气愤。
But they did not expect Jesus' answer to embarrass them and to anger them further.
顺便说一下刚才所读的这段经文，我们可以在 在马太福音第九章十四到十七节以及路加福音第五章三十三到三十九节看见平行的记载。
By the way, we can also find this passage which we have read just now in the parallel passages in Matthew chapter 9 verses 14 to 17 and Luke chapter 5 verses 33 to 39.
尤其是从路加福音第五章三十三节的记载，我们可以确定耶稣与门徒刚刚从马太家的大筵席出来。
Especially from Luke chapter 5 verse 33, where we can be certain that Jesus and his disciples had just left the banquet at Matthew's home.
好，我们请大家翻到路加福音第五章。
Please turn with me to Luke chapter 5.
这个问题啊，实际上是针对耶稣之前所说的无病的人用不着医生，有病的人才用得着。我来本不是招义人悔改，乃是招罪人悔改。
As a matter of fact, this was directed at what Jesus had just said. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
马上接着第五章三十三节，他们说啊，这句话是马上跟着耶稣之前说的。他们说，约翰的门徒屡次进食祷祈祷，法利赛的门徒也是这样，唯独你的门徒又吃又喝。
And following on to verse 33, and they said to him, the disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink.
你看到没有？这个问题还是因为耶稣带着门徒到马太的家里面去吃喝。
As we can see, the problem was still Jesus brought his disciples to this banquet in Matthew's home.
也就是说，法利赛人说还没完。
In simple terms, the Pharisees are saying it's not over.
在他们看来，耶稣与门徒在马太家中不仅仅是吃喝而已，更像是在庆祝。
To these Pharisees, Jesus and his disciples were not simply eating and drinking at Matthew's home, but they were more like celebrating.
他们是那样的开心、喜悦，与罪人睡一同享受大筵席。按照广东话来讲，叫做食大餐，听得懂吗？吃大餐。
They're so happy and so joyful while feasting with the tax collectors and the sinners.
因此他们现在又找到一个可以让他们攻击耶稣的理由，犹太人禁食的传统。
And now they have another reason to attack Jesus with, which is the tradition of Jewish fasting.
耶稣竟敢无视他们的宗教传统和礼仪，使得他们又一次遭到了冒犯。
How dare Jesus ignore their rituals? And in doing so, they are offended once again.
马可和路加都记载了，约翰的门徒屡次进食祈祷，法利赛人的门徒也是这样。
Both Mark and Luke had recorded that the disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees.
这里面有一个字是他们经常的进食祷告。
There's a term here that says fast often and offer prayers.
换句话说，禁食和祷告是连在一起的。
In other words, fasting and prayer are together.
所以对犹太人来讲，禁食祷告是一个人敬虔的表现。这个敬虔的表现还是要加引号。
In other words, to the Pharisees, fasting and prayer are an expression of one's so-called godliness.
祷告就是向上帝敬虔的表现，而禁食与祷告是连在一起的。
To them, prayer is a godly or pious expression to God, and fasting is linked together with prayer.
现在耶稣带着门徒，你们大吃大喝就是不敬虔的表现。
And now Jesus and his disciples are eating and drinking. This is an expression of ungodliness.
至少对法利赛人和文士来说是这样的。
At least it seems so to the Pharisees and the scribes.
这是表面上的关系，这似乎是非常的合情合理。
Though it sounds reasonable on the surface.
不仅如此呢，他们还专门搬出了施洗约翰以及法利赛人门徒的例子做依据。
And not only so, they even brought up John the Baptist and the disciples of the Pharisees as examples to back that claim.
这是非常狡猾的。
And they are as crafty as they can be.
问题是，禁食祷告真的是律法的要求以及敬虔的表现吗？
And now the question is fasting and prayer really a requirement of the law and an expression of godliness or piety?
不，这是犹太人的宗教传统而已。
No, it is merely a Jewish tradition.
请允许我花一点点时间来给大家解释这句话什么意思。
Allow me to spend a little time to explain what does this mean.
因为从整个旧约的律法来看呢，只有一个地方是要求犹太人必须禁食的。
Because there's only one place in the entire Old Testament law where the Jews were required to fast.
就是在利未记的16章29到31节。
Which is in The book of Leviticus, chapter 16, verses 29 to 31.
利未记十六章二十九到三十一节清楚地写明，犹太人在每年的赎罪日，或者叫赎罪节，就是七月初十，必须禁食，刻苦己心。
Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29 to 31 says, the Jews were required to fast or to afflict themselves on the annual Day of Atonement, which is on the 10th day of the 7th month.
这里要特别说明一下，当然了，旧约也有人们自愿禁食祷告的例子。
Of course, there is a need to stress here that in the Old Testament days, there were examples of people who were willing to fast and pray.
例如，我用举个例子来说，例如，当有人失去家里亲人的时候，那这个旧约有很多的例子，他们禁食祷告，表明他们的哀痛。
I'll give you a few examples. For example, when there is a loss of a loved one, where there are many examples in the Old Testament, and fasting to pray represented sorrow.
还有呢，就是当犹太人的群体需要专心寻求神旨意的时候，他们也经常自愿的禁食祷告。
Another example would be when the Jewish community was seeking God's will, they too often fasted and prayed.
比如说历代志下二十章，讲到当犹大国受到外族来攻打的时候，犹大王约法沙就带领百姓禁食祷告，寻求耶和华神的帮助。
For example, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat of Judah led the people to fast and pray in seeking Yahweh's help when they suffered attacks from other nations.
我们看一下历代志下二十章第三到第四节。
Please turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 3 to 4.
历代志下二十章第三到第四节。约法沙便惧怕，定意寻求耶和华，在犹太全地宣告禁食。于是犹太人聚会，求耶和华帮助犹大，各城都有人出来寻求耶和华。
Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord.
还有呢，比如说我再举一个例子，以斯拉记第八章。
Another example would be in Ezra chapter 8.
当以斯拉带领着百姓将要步行1400公里回到耶路撒冷的时候，
where Ezra was to lead the people to walk 1400 kilometers back to Jerusalem.
以斯拉就宣告百姓禁食祷告。为什么呢？他们寻求耶和华在整条危机四伏的路途上来保守他们。
Ezra called for the people to fast and pray in seeking for Yahweh's protection from any danger along the way.
你可以翻到，如果你愿意的话，你可以翻到以斯拉记第八章第二十一节。
If you like, you can turn to Ezra chapter 8, verse 21.
二十一节说，那时我，就是指的以斯拉自己，在亚哈瓦河边宣告禁食，务要在我们神面前刻苦己心，求他使我们和妇人孩子并一切所有的都得平坦的道路。这里后面的意思就是能够回到耶路撒冷。
When it says here, I, Ezra, who is Ezra, proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our GodTo seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods, which means they can safely reach Jerusalem.
还有一些例子，比如说尼希米，先知但以理在寻求神旨意的时候，都自愿禁食祷告。
For example, another example would be Nehemiah, or the prophet Daniel, when they're seeking God's will.Both of them also fasted and prayed.
自愿的禁食祷告。
They both did it willingly.
Voluntarily.
自愿的。
Yeah, good. 还有我想可能大家最熟悉的应该是以斯帖的故事里面。 在以斯帖记的第四章，当犹太的民族面临灭族的危机的时候，皇后以斯帖就号召犹太人一起进食祷告。
And I believe everyone is familiar with the book of Esther. When Esther chapter 4, in there, Queen Esther called for the Jews to fast and pray when they were in danger of being exterminated.
他们寻求耶和华神在危险来临之际保全整个犹太民族。
They did so in seeking Yahweh's protection for the Jews in the face of danger.
最后还有一个非常重要的需要提到的，旧约里面还有很多禁食祷告的例子。
Lastly, it is absolutely necessary to mention that there are many other examples of fasting and praying in the Old Testament.
这是尤其当罪人悔改的时候，也常常禁食祷告，向神表明他们对罪懊悔的心态。
Especially when a sinner repents, they too often fast to express their repentant attitude towards sin.
你可以从撒母耳记上第七章、撒母耳记下第十二章、约珥书第一章、约拿书第三章许多地方看到人们向神悔改的时候禁食祷告的例子。
You can find many of such examples of people fasting and praying to God in repentance in 1 Samuel chapter 7, 2 Samuel chapter 12, Joel chapter 1, and Jonah chapter 3.
但是这些都是人们自愿禁食祷告的表现。
This will help people voluntarily fast to pray in the Old Testament.
直到今天，仍旧有许多的基督徒为了爱主，为了寻求他们个人生命当中得到神的引导，自愿禁食祷告。
Until today, there are many Christians who would also voluntarily fast to pray for God's guidance in their lives out of their love for God.
那就是当基督徒心里面对某些事情存有极大的负担，他们的负担是那样的重，到了一定程度已经无心去专注吃的方面的一个具体表现。
This is when something is being exercised over the Christian's heart that captures that heart into their hearts to such a degree that they have no interest in eating.
这也是圣恩教会的基督徒可以学习的属灵生命的操练。
It is also something that we Christians of Abundant Grace Bible Church can learn.Which is the practicing of our spiritual lives.
这些都是自愿禁食祷告的例子。
These are examples of voluntarily fasting to pray.
然而在圣经当中，除了利未记十六章，我们刚才提到的利未记十六章是二十九到三十一节以外，没有律法明文规定犹太人必须禁食祷告。
But other than Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29 to 31, as mentioned just now, there is no other law that required the Jews to fast.
然而法利赛人为了显明自己多么的敬虔，他们就自己给自己定规，一个礼拜禁食两次。
But the Pharisees, in wanting to show how pious they were, set themselves to fast twice a week.
通常呢有人说他们是在礼拜一跟礼拜四，通常这两天是犹太人的集市日，这样的话聚集的人就会更多一些。
And it was said that these two days would normally be the Jewish market days because the crowds were bigger.
所以当他们进食的时候，法利赛人就可以进入到大堆的人群当中。
Therefore when the Pharisees fast, they will mingle into a large crowd.
他们会预先朝自己头上扬起一把炉灰，装出很痛苦忧伤的样子。
And they will cover their heads with ash and put up a sorrowful look.
而且当他们带着拉长的驴脸，装着进到圣殿里面去祷告的时候
，And when they enter the temple with long faces to pray,
人们自然就可以从他的头发、衣服上的炉灰看出他们，这些人都是在进食。哎呦，他们是何等的敬虔，并且是刻苦己身哦。
So naturally, people could tell by the ash on their heads and clothing that they were fasting and how pious they were and that they were afflicting themselves.
换句话说，犹太人的禁食祷告已经成了一种表演。
In other words, the Pharisees fasting to pray had become some form of show.
每个礼拜，当他们两个礼拜两次禁食的时候，故意蓬头垢面，衣衫不整，好叫人看出他们是在禁食。
And during this twice a week fasting, they would deliberately look disheveled so that people would know they were fasting.
因此，你知道吗？以赛亚书五十八章严厉的审判了犹太人当中这些假冒伪善的禁食者。
Hence, God's word in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 3 to 4, had given a solemn judgment towards such hypocritical fasting Jews.
以赛亚书五十八章第三到第四节。
Isaiah chapter 58, verses 3 to 4.
他们说：“我们禁食，你为何不看见呢？我们刻苦己心，你为何不理会呢？你看我们装得这么好，是吧？看啊，你们禁食的日子，仍求利益，乐必人为你们做苦工。”你们禁食却相互争竞，与凶恶的拳头打人。你们今日禁食，不得使你的声音听闻于上。也就是说，你们这样的禁食，神根本就不听你们的。
It says here, verse 3 to 4, Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers.Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked feast. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high, which means fasting like this will not be accepted by God.
那么对于法利赛人对耶稣门徒的指控，耶稣是如何回答的呢？
Then how did Jesus answer such a charge towards him and his disciples from the Pharisees?
我们回到马可福音第二章第十九节，耶稣对他们说：“新郎和陪伴之人同在的时候，陪伴之人岂能禁食呢？新郎还同在，他们不能禁食。”
Let us go back to Mark chapter 2 verse 19, where it says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast.'"
每个人知道，在婚礼上是没有人禁食的。
We all know that no one fasts at weddings.
因为婚礼是一个欢喜值得庆祝的场合。
Because weddings are supposed to be joyous and worth celebrating.
但是历史上仍旧有不少法利赛人，他们想要在婚礼的场合表演他们的禁食，表演他们的假冒为善。
But historically,There are many Pharisees who would want to display the hypocrisy at, even at weddings.
以至于在古时候，犹太的拉比必须专门定规，在婚礼的场合上，人们不得禁食。
There were even ancient rabbinic rules forbidding wedding guests to fast.
那么在这节经文当中，耶稣将自己比喻成新郎。
In these two verses,Jesus sets himself as the bridegroom.
因为新约圣经这将蒙救赎的教会比喻成新妇，这是我们今天这些基督徒从圣经当中可以知道的。
Because the New Testament describes the redeemed church as the bride, and we Christians today know this.
因为主耶稣所说的意思是，既然弥赛亚已经来到，当他在这里的时候，就不该是禁食的时候。
So what our Lord is really saying is, since the Messiah has come and he is here, then it is not a time to fast.
而直接说，但日子将到，新郎要离开他们，那日他们就要禁食。
Verse 20, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast at this day.
这里特别说到新郎要离开，原文的意思是被带走的意思。
It says that the bridegroom is taken away.
原文呢，在希腊文的原文呢 ，apairo 的意思是指忽然的被强暴的、被夺走、被抢走的意思。
The original Greek word apeiro, it means a sudden violently being snatched away.
很显然，耶稣这句话是指着自己将要被无法之人钉上十字架所说的。
Jesus is clearly referring to the day when he will be taken away and be crucified by the lawlessness.
然而直到那个日子来到为止，现在主的门徒就应该对他的同在表现出激动和喜悦。
But until that day comes, now the disciples of the Lord were right to be excited and joyful in his presence.
为了使这个真理更加清楚，主耶稣用了两个日常生活当中非常形象的例子加以说明。
To make this truth crystal clear, Lord Jesus uses two vivid illustrations from their everyday lives.
主耶稣要让犹太人明白，他来不是要宣扬一个改进了的宗教，就是犹太教，不是来改进犹太教。
Lord Jesus wants the Jews to understand that he did not come to preach an improved religion, which is an improved version of Judaism.
他要让他们明白，他来也不是要翻修已经老旧的宗教。
He wants them to know that he did not come to re-upholster the religion that has been worn out.
他要让他们明白，他来不是带来一个信息，对旧的宗教系统打打补丁而已。
He wants them to know that he didn't come with a message to patch up an old system.
他来是要带给荣耀新生命的信息，并且完全的废除他们旧的宗教体系。
He came with a new and glorious life message and to throw away the old religious system altogether.
啊，这才是最最重要的。
And now this is the most important.
简单来说，耶稣不是来重新装修犹太教。
In simple terms, Jesus did not come to refurbish Judaism.
他来是要建立一个本乎恩也因着信的救赎恩典。
He came to establish the gift of salvation, which is by grace through faith.
耶稣用了两个例子。
Jesus used two examples.
Illustration. 第一个例子，没有人把布缝在旧衣服上，恐怕所补上的新布带坏了旧衣服，破的就更大。
First illustration, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made.
我想在日常生活当中，大家都懂得这个道理。
I think everyone here knows this simple illustration.
这里所表明的属灵原则真理非常的清楚。
And the spiritual principle here is very clear.
旧的不能和新的掺和在一起。
The old cannot be blended with the new.
注重外在礼仪规矩的犹太教不能与强调内在神与神生命关系的基督信仰相互混淆。
Judaism with its external rituals and rules cannot be mixed up with the Christian faith which emphasizes on an internal life relationship with God.
耶稣已经满足了所有律法的要求。
Jesus has fulfilled all the requirements for the law.
并且已经将被神拣选属于他的子民从人为的礼仪规条的捆绑当中解救了出来。
And he has delivered his people who are the chosen by God from the bondage of man-made rules and rituals.
因此对于今天的基督徒来说，我们不再需要为了去遵行律法来讨神的喜悦，或者遵行律法争取得救。
Therefore, as for us Christians today, we are not obliged to keep the law in order to please the Lord or in order to be saved.
就像保罗在腓立比书第三章第九节说的。
Just as Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 9.
今天我们在基督的里面，不是有自己因行律法而来的义，乃是有信基督的义，就是因信神而来的义。
He said that we be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith.
接着第二个例子，
And falling onto the second illustration,
这对于当时在场听见耶稣信息的人们来说，都是非常通俗易懂的。
This illustration was simple enough for those hearing Jesus' message back then.
也没有人把新酒装在旧皮袋里，恐怕酒把皮袋裂开，酒和皮袋就都坏了，唯把新酒装在新皮袋里。
And no one puts new wine into old wine skins. If it does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wine skins.
耶稣用了一个装酒皮袋，装酒的皮袋来作为例子。
Jesus used an image of a wine skin for his illustration.
要知道，在那个时候，玻璃或者塑料的容器尚未出现。
We need to remember that glass and plastic bottles did not exist in those days.
古代人们常用山羊的皮缝制成装酒的容器。
Ancient people often used the skin of a goat as a container for wine.
有时候他们做得漂亮一点，比较有酒壶的样子。
They'll probably decorate it up a little so it would look more like a container.
有的就比较简单，直接还是保留着山羊的那个样子，就来做装酒的容器。
In other times, this container would look exactly the same as it was prior to being skinned.
古代的中东人将新酿造的酒直接装入山羊皮所缝制的那个酒袋里，让它发酵几个月再喝。
Ancient Middle Eastern people would put new wine into the goat wine skins and let it ferment for a few months.
因此老旧的旧的酒袋子不可以用来装新酿造的葡萄酒。
Therefore, old wineskins cannot be used to hold the new wine.
因为在连续几个月的发酵的过程当中所产生的那个压力会把老旧的袋子崩破掉。
Because during the fermentation in these few months, the pressure that is produced during this process might rip the old wineskin apart.
同样，这里所表明的属灵真理原则也很清楚。
Again, the spiritual principle is very clear.
犹太教的礼仪规矩不能来承载耶稣基督的信息与事工。
Judaism, with its rituals and rules, cannot contain the ministry and the message of Lord Jesus Christ.
耶稣的来到不是要将灵性的新酒道路那些试图透过遵守人为规矩和礼仪的来讨神喜悦的那个旧的心灵。
Jesus did not come to pour the new wine of his spirit into hearts that were trying to please God by keeping rules and traditions of men.
他来就是要将我们属肉体的旧皮带除去，用他的能力将我们的生命完全的更新。
He cameto take the old wineskins of our flesh and make us anew by his power.
只有透过重生，经历了他改变的大能，我们接受了他的灵，才像新酒一样，那个灵装进我们的里面。
Only through the new birth when he transforms us that we receive the new wine of his spirit.
也只有靠他的恩典被救赎而重生的人才可以成为神的灵所居住的所在。
Only the one who has been saved by his grace and is born again can be a fit container for the Spirit of God.
基督在所有信从他、降服他权柄的人的心中掌权，而不是要将我们重新放到律法的重担之下。
Jesus rules over the hearts that have submitted under his sovereign power, not to place us under the yoke of the law.
是让我们透过圣灵的能力，使我们可以活出神完美的旨意。
But to enable us to live out God's perfect will through the power of the Holy Spirit.
耶稣来，不是要仍旧将我们放在摩西的律法之下，使我们被压垮。
Jesus didn't come to smash us under the Mosaic law,
而是透过重生，赐给我们一个爱神的心，以至于我们可以遵守神的诫命。
But through regeneration, he places within us a heart that loves God that loves God, so that we can keep His commandments.
这才是福音完整的信息。
This is the complete message of the gospel.
因为福音不仅仅是一个人是否可以离开死亡，单单进入永恒的生命的问题。
Because the gospel is not just about one being able to leave death and enter into eternal life.
更重要的，福音牵涉到基督进到我们里面掌权，并且使我们可以为了神的荣耀而活。
More importantly, the gospel relates to the rule of Jesus Christ that enables us to live our life to the glory of God.
这才是基督徒生命被彻底改变以后的人生最高追求。
This is the highest pursuit of a Christian once his or her life has been changed radically.
律法，这是律法永远无法做到。
And the law could never do that.
直到今天，太多人试图将耶稣基督信仰的信息缝补在他们老旧生活的衣服上。
Up to today, far too many are trying to sew the patch of Christian belief onto the garment, old garment of their lives.
这是行不通的。
This will not work.
耶稣并不是想要对你旧生活重新编排程序，而是要将你改变，造成一个全新的人。
Jesus does not want to reprogram your old life. He wants you to make you into a new creature.
也有太多的人想要将耶稣基督和他的道理装进他们原本的价值观、世界观的旧皮带里面。
Far too many want Jesus to fill the wineskin of their old value system and of their old worldview.
这也是行不通的。
This will not work either.
对基督徒来说，除非你愿意放弃你老旧生命当中 你的文化传统当中，放弃你原本心中的价值，有价值的一切。
And for Christians, unless you're willing to give up everything that you value in your life and in your culture and in your heart,
就像耶稣所说的，变卖你所有的一切，为的是获得那重价的珍珠以及隐藏的宝藏。
And just like Jesus had said, to sell everything you have in order to obtain that priceless pearl and the hidden treasure.
盼望这能够成为我们在座每一个人生命的追求。
I hope that this is the pursuit of each and every one of us here.
我们一同祷告。
Let us pray together.
感谢我们的主，透过你的话，将你的真理赐给了我们。因为你的话就是真理，就是生命的粮。Thanks to our Lord that you have given us your word. And your word is the truth. 主，我们再一次听见你的话，让我们能够有一颗心遵照你的话而行，将你的话运用到我们的生命每日的生活当中。 We pray that everyone who takes the word of God will use it, apply to our daily life.奉耶稣的名祷告, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.